continued discussion of the wonderful childhood pastimes of Krishna. The gopis are enjoying. This is especially, these pastimes are enjoyed by the gopis. Even the gopas, we don't see this. We see the gopis. Gopis here means the elderly gopis. The age of Mother Yashoda. When we say the gopis of Vrindavan, there are two sets. They're the elderly gopis who enjoy Vatsalya Rasa, or parental affection with Krishna. And there are the Samavayasik, those who are the same age as Krishna. They enjoy conjugal affairs with Krishna. And even there are others who, I mean, within that, within those two age groups, there are some who are Balaram's gopis, there are different gopis. So these gopis, these are the elderly gopis, they're enjoying pastimes with Krishna. And this pastime, even we don't see that the gopas, the cowherd, the Nanda Maharaj, is not mentioned. It said that the other gopis were coming to see the fun, Krishna being tied up, not being tied up at the moment. But the gopas weren't there. So that's a normal thing. The men during the day, they're out with the cows. Cowherd men, they're herding the cows. And they're not just in name, but they have to be out with the cows. That's the system. You still see that. It's most common in the cowherd men. They'll go with the cows. And they'll just, all day, they'll just walk around from here to... They'll go in different places and with a stick he'll control. Maybe sometimes big herd, maybe even nowadays you sometimes see 100, 150 cows. Usually not so many. They take them from place to place and they eat different grasses and sometimes they sit down. In the heat of the day they sit down in the shade under some tree and they come to a river and drink some water like this. So same thing. Of course Nanda Maharaj had many, many thousands, hundreds and thousands, hundreds of thousands of cows. So he was overseeing them all. Of course, he had his brothers also. So his joint family, Abhinanda, Upananda, his brothers of Nanda Maharaj. But they were out. So there's no description of Nanda Maharaj enjoying these pastimes. So it's a daytime pastime means Nanda Maharaj, we can understand. He was the cowherd men, they were away. So this is a pastime that the gopis, the elderly gopis, are enjoying, simply enjoying. Simply enjoying. Actually, in many ways, the pastimes of Krishna, they seem very ordinary. Krishna's not the only naughty boy in history. There are so many naughty boys, have been, are, and will be. Young boys who behave badly. Not exactly badly, but naughty. Prabhupada said even that if the boy is very naughty, it means in future it's a sign he'll be very intelligent. So we can say that in consolation to the mothers who are, so many people come for blessings. So usually the mothers bring their sons for blessings. So they'll tell, oh, he's very naughty. I say, that's very good. That means in future he'll be intelligent. So Krishna also, he was very naughty, and later on we see he was very intelligent. Actually, he was very intelligent at that time also. He's always intelligent. But definitely, that's the case in Krishna's case. He came to be known as the greatest philosopher in history. Spoke Bhagavad Gita. Krishna exhibited his speaking art, in that he was able to speak the essence of all knowledge very succinctly, concisely. So that's a great art. If you can express the essence of all knowledge very briefly without having to go on and on and on. Even in modern writing, that's considered a great art, especially in this modern age where people don't have time to sit down and read so many things. That if you can express your point very clearly and simply, that's considered very good. So anyway, the gopis, they had no idea Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they were simply enjoying us. As you might expect them to enjoy with any parents and local village women, they enjoy the affairs of the children. And you'll see, even today in villages, I don't know so much here in Gujarat, I haven't been in the villages much, but definitely in Bengal, the children, they wander out in and out of different houses in the village. It's not that this house is my house, but they naturally, they wander into any house, and wherever they go, and then the mothers, all the mothers who are there, they'll give some sweets or something like that. So it's like a joint, big joint affair. So they're, in this way, all the elderly gopis, they all have this vatsalya ras for Krishna, parental affection. Not only Mother Yashoda, they're all sharing in that, because they all think of Krishna as their own child, and they all love Krishna even more than their own children, which is, that you don't see in the material world. That someone else's child is loved more than your own. Even there are many cases here in India where the mother gives birth to a child and then she dies during childbirth. And then no one will feed the child. No, any suckling mother, they don't like. I'll only suckle my own child. So the other child may die. It doesn't matter. Only they'll see to their child. It's quite common. But all the elderly gopis, they were enjoying the pastimes of Krishna. So it may seem that, well, ordinary people, they like to see they take pleasure in seeing their little child playing in the dirt, following the cows, or whatever they may be doing. But there is a difference. The difference is that this is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. This is the transcendental pleasure of spiritual existence. The affection one has for one's child, that may seem very nice, but actually it's a cause of material bondage. Unless one trains his child in Krishna consciousness. However, if one has Krishna as his child, or the gopis of Vrindavan, their attachment to Krishna was not at all a cause of material bondage. They didn't have any material bondage. It seemed that they were ordinary cowherd women, village women. And there's so many, I mean, apart from the Vraja Mandal, the area of Vrindavan, where Nanda Maharaj was living, there's so many villages all over India, all over the world, where people are doing more or less the same thing. But the difference is that Krishna was the object of affection for the people of Vrindavan. So they know or not know that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they still get the benefit of worshipping Krishna. They're on the transcendental plane. Prabhupada many times gave the example that whether you know it or not, fire will act. If a physicist who knows what is the potency of fire, or a doctor, or anyone knows that, any experienced man knows that if you put your hand in the fire, you'll get burned. A young child may not know. So know or not know, if you put your hand in the fire, it will get burned. So similarly, if we come in contact with Krishna, whether we know about his potencies or not, we'll become purified. Prabhupada, several times, there are so many stories in Shastra about this, knowing or not knowing. There's a story of one rat who he was very hungry, so he came to eat the ghee-wick, which was burning in the temple. So he picked it up in his mouth to eat it. It's burning. Because the ghee is there, so he likes to eat that. It's burning, and so it caught on his whiskers, and the ghee came on his whiskers, and that became on fire. So his whiskers were on fire, so he was jumping in pain. And then he died. So the last thing he did, because his whiskers were on fire, he was jumping, and it was going round and round, so it was like he was offering arati to Krishna. So he went back to God. Prabhupada told that story. There's so many stories. Prabhupada told another story. One thief is by profession a thief. Just like in India, you get people by family tradition. Some are potters, some are carpenters, some are blacksmiths, some are silversmiths. So in their family, there are thieves by tradition also. So the family business. You get trained by your father how to enter a house very quietly and how to pick the lock and all these things. Family trade. So he was, one time he was searching, going to different villages, looking to see what different houses there are I can steal from. And he happened to come across a big Bhagavat Sapta, big Krishna Katha, one festival, they're speaking Krishna Katha. So just as he was passing, he heard that description of Krishna in his childhood. Mother Yashoda is dressing with jewels, and he gave a big description of bangles on the arms, and earrings in the ears, and necklace, so many valuable jewels. I thought, oh, really? So he thought, I'll listen more. Where is he staying? In Vrindavan. Krishna is in Vrindavan. So, oh, let me go to Vrindavan. He's a little boy in the forest. I can just go to him and take all his jewels. Then I won't have to worry about stealing Kira. If I steal some Hira, I won't have to bother about stealing Kira. You know, Hira cha Kira cha. I mean, Hira means diamond. Kira means this kind of vegetable. So that's one saying. Hira cha Kira cha. Someone's stealing diamonds, someone is stealing cucumbers. But both are thieves. It's the same propensity. So he thought, let me go to Vrindavan. So he found the asked, well, how to go to Vrindavan? So he's going, I'm going to go to Vrindavan, I'm going to see Krishna, I'm going to steal all his jewels. So he's thinking of Krishna. So he arrived in Vrindavan in the forest and was calling out, where is Krishna? Krishna! Krishna! Eventually one little boy came before him with all jewels. He said, are you Krishna? Yes. You can give me all your jewels. Oh no, my mother will be... She'll be very angry with me. She might tie me up. Before she used to tie me up. But anyway, by this time, the thief, because he was all his time thinking of Krishna, how to find Krishna. And when he saw Krishna, then his heart melted. And then he became pure devotee of Krishna. So Krishna is like that. Krishna is always pure. You know Krishna or not know his opulences. Then somehow or other, if we come in contact with Krishna, we become purified. Of course, we're reading these pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, which Shukadeva Goswami could have told also in the 1st canto, because Parikshit Maharaj, he was a pure devotee of Krishna from birth. And Shukadeva Goswami, he's also great pure devotee. They're both on the transcendental position. They're both great devotees of Krishna. So they could have immediately gone to these subjects, but first, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear what is the greatness of Krishna, his different incarnations, how he is relating with, how he is creating, maintaining, and destroying the material worlds, and background information. Just so that we, who are not on the platform of Parikshit and Shukadev, we can hear what are the opulences of Krishna, so we can appreciate. When we're reading the stories of Krishna, already we should, in the 10th canto, actually, first you're supposed to go through 9 cantos and understand what is the greatness of Krishna. And then when one becomes fully inspired by Krishna, or fully determined to surrender to Krishna, then by hearing these pastimes, one will take pleasure. Just like it's described here, the gopis, they're taking pleasure in... They're taking pleasure in Krishna. So it is a source of great pleasure. The non-devotees, they can't understand this. They're just some stuff. You see, there are so many descriptions of Krishna. And I wonder, they can't understand why people are so much interested in Krishna. You hear about his pastime stealing some butter. Then why you make such a big fuss? Someone's stealing some butter. What's in it? They can't. The non-devotee, the materialist, they can't find. They don't feel any pleasure or bliss in hearing about Krishna. For them, it just seems to be foolish. Why are people so much crazy after Krishna? They can't understand because they're materialists. But a devotee takes tremendous pleasure. A devotee of Krishna, just to get to have the opportunity to hear about Krishna or think about Krishna, they're prepared to do anything. The non-devotee, they can't understand why, what are you doing? Why are you doing all these things, rising early in the morning, performing all these different austerities, following rules and regulations. It's very strict. You can't eat anything only which is offered to Krishna. You're not supposed to talk about anything except related to Krishna. Why do all these things? Why? Because we simply want to join Krishna and steal some rice and yogurt from his lunchbox. That's Krishna, his favorite. He likes that. The rice and yogurt mix. When he goes out to the field, he takes within his tiffin. So he likes very much the rice and yogurt with some black pepper. South India is very popular also. Krishna likes very much, very cooling in the hot sun. So rice mixed with yogurt and some black pepper is very cooling. So Krishna likes that very much. So all these things we're doing, what is the point? What is the purpose? That we want to join Krishna and steal some laddus from his lunchbox. I remember once I was in Dubai, I gave one book, this Bhaktivedanta Babaji book, to one successful young businessman. He's a rich man, from rich family, but even though he's expanding the business, and when the CIS opened up, he opened up so many businesses and selling so many things there. So I gave him this book. I mean, Indian, Sindhi. So I gave the book to him, and he looked at it and he said, well, what's so special about him? What did he do? Well, from a material point of view, he really didn't do anything. I mean, he wasn't the president of a multinational business corporation. He wasn't a general in an army. He wasn't a great politician. He wasn't a PhD. He was illiterate. He was from a fisherman's family. What did he do? He loved Krishna. That's what he did. Day and night. He had no knowledge of whether it was day or night. For him, it didn't make any difference. He didn't seem to be aware whether it was day or night. He had no particular time for getting up in the morning or going to sleep at night or any such thing. He just, all the time, he was simply talking to Krishna. That was what he did most of the time. He simply talk to Krishna. He would talk to Krishna. No one could hear Krishna talking to him. And he was talking to Krishna. He didn't even talk with anybody else. Practically, he didn't talk to anyone. He only spoke to Krishna. So what did he do? He loved Krishna. That is the perfection of life. Sansidhir harito shanam. After all the different rules and regulations, after following all the rules and regulations of the Varnashram system, one has to understand the ultimate point is simply to satisfy Krishna. And if by our activities we satisfy Krishna, then gradually we can appreciate, or we ourselves will be satisfied by hearing about Krishna. This is a devotee. Prabhupada said a devotee is someone, he's not an ambitious person, he satisfies it. He can sit under a tree and chant Hare Krishna. He's very happy. Of course, for preaching, we have so many activities, so many ambitions. We want to see every jiva in the universe become Krishna conscious. And if there's an ant, we should think, how will he become Krishna conscious? We should see jiva is there in every living being, how to uplift that. But personally, a devotee, he has no ambition. He's simply content to chant Hare Krishna. Hari Lila ek matro jaha pramod bhogarati gaishe bhakate vinod. This song, Bhogarati song, describing the pastimes of Krishna eating his breakfast by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, Hari Lila ek matro jaha pramod. This Hari Lila, pastimes of Krishna, is the only pleasure of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And you see, he was a materially successful person, magistrate, highly respected, but he was always trying to get out of his job so that he could leave all these things. And actually he wanted to sit in Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. So he was planning to go to Vrindavan. He retired. He was planning to go to Vrindavan. But then who came to him in a dream? Was it Gaurasundara Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I can't remember exactly who. Maybe Rupa Goswami or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him in a dream, why are you going to Vrindavan? Go to Mayapur. You have some work there. So he had some work there, which was discovering the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Big job, discovering the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was a very successful person from the material point of view, but he left all that to preach, and he retired at the end of his, towards the end of his life, preaching, writing books, and so many activities, establishing the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then at the end, he simply went to Puri and sat in Kuti, his Bhajan Kuti, chanted Hare Krishna. That was his success, thinking of Krishna. Hari Leela Ekmatra Jahakuma, who is very happy simply to think of Krishna. And that whole Bhogarati song, you know, materialistic person will say, oh, what is this? What do you want to sing a song? What's the story? Isn't it? What's these? You see, this story begins that Mother Yashoda is calling Krishna, come sit down with Nanda Maharaj. Your father is waiting. Come and sit down with your elder brother Balaram. Come and take your meal. Then there's a description of all the items. Quite a big breakfast. So after taking a meal, there's a description that Krishna is taking his meal, and out of the corner of his eyes, he's looking at Radhi Kadi Gone Hari Nayanera Kone. Out of the corner of his eyes, he doesn't want to show directly, but just he's sideways looking at the gopis, beginning with Radharani. So then, Triptohe Kai Krishna Jashoda Bhavan, he goes happily in Yashoda's house, he's taking his meal. Then after he's finished his meal, he drinks some scented water, very nicely, maybe some scented water means nice flavor, maybe some flowers maybe put in, flower petals are put inside. And all the cowherd boys, they all line up and wash their hands. Doesn't sound like a very exciting story. Then they take rest. And that's the, and then the Radharani takes the remnants, and then all the gopis take the remnants. And that's it. Where's the action? What happened? What's the story? That's it. That is the story. This is the path. But the devotees, they feel great pleasure hearing about this. Oh, how nice. Krishna's taking his meal. Radharani's taking the remnants. And then afterwards, all the gopis. Lalitadi shakigan avashe shatai mane mane shuke radha krishna gunara. All the gopis take all the remnants of Radha's remnants, which are the remnants of Krishna. And in their mind, they're very happily glorifying the qualities of Krishna. So devotees, they take great pleasure in this. This is the happiness of devotees. That when you're being a great businessman, when you're being a great general, a great politician, and you've done all these things in the material world, you've been famous, and sometimes you've been a worm in stool, sometimes you've been in hell. When you've been through all this many, many, many times, you can eventually attain the perfection of life, which is to join Krishna in Vrindavan. See him dancing, join with him dancing. Either gopis are dancing with Krishna in Ras Leela circle, or the cowherd boys are dancing, maybe not such sophisticated dance. The cowherd boys, they also dance with Krishna. They have their own pastimes, playing with the monkeys and shouting in the well, hearing the echo, have their own pastimes. And also, there's so many other, there are these are normal day-to-day activities. And there are so many, what you might call, exciting things. Demons come, Krishna kills all the demons. So many things. The forest fire, Krishna swallows it up. So Krishna does many exciting things. But the day-to-day activities of Krishna are simply rising, early in the morning. Actually, he doesn't go to sleep, only pretends to go to sleep. In the night, he's out in the forest with the gopis. And he comes back. Quickly, he has to come back and pretend to be asleep. Then gets up, takes his bath, everything, milks the cows, then has his breakfast, then goes out in the pasturing grounds. In the meantime, all the gopis are feeling as if they're dead, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Yugayatam Nameshena Chakshusha Pravishanita Shunyayatam Jagat Savam Govindayana Yugayatam Nameshena. That one moment without seeing Krishna seems to me like 12 years or more. So the gopis, they're feeling like that. They had to pass whole days, which for them seemed like millions of years, when Krishna is out in the pasturing grounds. And then he would come back. So during the day, Krishna had so many wonderful pastimes. So like this, the devotees, they're feeling great pleasure. He has described how the gopis, they're feeling great pleasure in the pastimes of Krishna. So this is the goal of the devotee. That the devotees, they're very greedy people. Very greedy. If you have greed, everyone has greed. Everyone wants, I will. Greed means you want to eat more, you want to collect more. There's greed, I will. Greedy for material name and fame. But a devotee has another, lolya. It's called lolya, means strong desire to attain Krishna. Therefore, a devotee is prepared to do anything. A devotee is prepared to do and go through so many difficulties. You see, Prabhupada went through so many difficulties to establish this Krishna conscious movement. Heart attacks, and then had two heart attacks on the ship coming over, and then again in New York. Several times had heart attack, and no one was encouraged. All his godbrothers, no one encouraged him, and very great struggle. For a long time, probably struggle, even after the movement started, still more struggle. What for? Prabhupada described once that one time he was laughing. Why are you laughing, Prabhupada? He said, I'm just thinking, I wonder how I'm going to steal some laddus and kachoris from Krishna's lunch books. So he said, what is that, Prabhupada? He never heard, what is laddu or kachori? In the West, people just eat meat, bread, and they have no idea what is laddu or kachori. I mean, even from the material point of view, people in India, they're enjoying more. In the West, what is pleasure in life? Pleasure, main things are sex and food. So, sex, everyone is having, India or anywhere. But food, in the West, what is the McDonald's, hamburgers, that's like the that's supposed to be the best thing, huh? Is it in the way you don't have it in Serbia? You have? Oh yeah, you have McDonald's there also. I thought maybe because it's American, you didn't.
Well, they smashed now.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sure they smashed it. I saw the American embassy in Belgrade. There's all paintings of graffiti. They don't like the Americans. Adolf Clinton, they call him. Anyway, we're getting off the subject. So, but food, you see, even so many nice things. Now they're becoming modern, so they'll lose all this. Now they're just going to have frozen food and all this. But even from the material point of view, they're enjoying more. So you can imagine those kacharis Krishna's tasting. Not only imagine, you can taste here also. Krishna's also eating here. Definitely anything you cook, someone may be very, very expert cook, but if it's not offered to Krishna as prasadam, it doesn't taste the same. So Krishna said, Prabhupada said, I want to take those laddus and kachoris from Krishna. I said, what is that, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, I'll give you the recipe. You make them and then I'll bless you. If you can make laddus and kachoris, I will bless you, Prabhupada said. So what is this laddu and kachori? Well, what is this special thing offered to Krishna? What is this? What is the difference? There's one whole chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita dedicated to description of prasada. Why? How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is enjoying taking prasada. Actually, there are many chapters. There's whole chapters of all the feasts Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took. But the one in particular, it's described how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with his devotees. You see, what are these different items offered to Jagannath? Here there is, you see, it's made out of some rice flour, some ghee, sugar, camphor, pepper. These ingredients, they're everywhere. Everywhere you can get. And people are cooking so many things. Then why is it that the same ingredients, it's offered to Krishna, and why does it taste so wonderful? That when you eat this, you faint in ecstasy. It's so nice. Why? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the explanation, because this is Krishna's remnants. Krishna has eaten this. So it means that that is mixed. Whatever is there, cakes, rice preparations, vegetables, whatever it may be, it's mixed with the nectar from Krishna's lips. The saliva from Krishna's lips is just like nectar. It's called Adharamrita, the nectar from Krishna's lips. So that gives it such a good flavor. That is transcendental flavor. So this is the thing that Krishna's pastimes, they may seem to be just like some ordinary affairs, but not at all, because it's all nectar. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. It's imbued with the nectarine potency of the Pladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of Krishna's internal energy, which is represented in this material world that becomes perverted. The pleasure potency in the spiritual world, when it comes into the material world, it becomes a perverted reflection. So that the same activities in the spiritual world in relationship with Krishna, when they're done in this material world, that material pleasure is simply a cause of grief. Just like Krishna's topmost pastime is with the gopis. So that same thing in the material world, the material relationship, conjugal relationship, is the cause of bondage and greed, perverted reflections. So the real thing, all these things. Actually, everyone's looking for pleasure. And the same thing in the spiritual world. Yeah, women are playing with their children and enjoying seeing them. Same thing in the spiritual world. But the difference is that the object, Krishna, who is the actual object of pleasure, the actual reservoir of pleasure. Therefore, that is purifying to hear about. That is purifying to hear about and joyful to remember. What is that? Shinu Sukadam? That Dasavatar Stotram is there? Shinu Sukadam Taradam Bhavasaram. Shinu Sukadam Udaram Bhavasaram. Means that by this Das Goswami, Das Avatar Stotram is there. Jai Jagadish Hari. So, Shinu Sukadam Shubadam Bhavasaram says that by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, different incarnations, that is Sukada, gives great pleasure, and Shubada is very auspicious. Because in this material world, anything we do, anything we hear about, it is dukkadam. It gives distress. And ashubhada, it gives non-auspiciousness. How can we say? Is ashub? Is there another word for that? Is there a specific word for inauspiciousness? No, there must be. I just can't think of anything now. Antarai, maybe something like that. So, we're hearing the pastimes of Krishna. This is all auspicious. Simply to hear how Krishna is stealing the butter, killing the demons, being tied up, pulling down the tree, we shall hear about. Again and again. Meditate upon this. This is the object of meditation. Sometimes also Prabhupada, the devotee would go in Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada would just be sitting there. Maybe for half an hour, 1 hour, just sitting. completely still and silent. Absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. One time, one Bhagatji, that means Prabhupada's friend, he was an old man in Vrindavan, helped Prabhupada very much. He donated the land for the Gurukul. And so he walked into Prabhupada's room and Prabhupada was sitting like that, completely still and silent. So after a long time, then he moved, and Bhagatji said to him, "Oh, Prabhupada, you were completely absorbed." Prabhupada said, "Yes, I was looking at the mosquitoes. I was thinking how Krishna has designed them so wonderfully. They can fly here and there." So actually, like that, if you're Krishna conscious, everything you see, you can relate to Krishna. Prabhupada actually many times gave the example of the flies and the mosquitoes. You see how Krishna has designed them so wonderfully that they don't have any big radar or any such thing. But they fly. If you see a cloud, sometimes you see a cloud of mosquitoes, like a big cloud. So they're all one. They're all flying here and there. Very complex flight patterns, but they don't crash. Prabhupada gave the example that they're so wonderfully designed that these flies, they never crash, they never bump into each other. Never in history do they. They're going, and then they fall down unconscious. No such thing. We do some, humans we do. I remember as a kid playing soccer or something, sometimes you just smash your head like that. But the flies, they don't. Wonderfully designed by Krishna. So one who is Krishna conscious sees Krishna everywhere, in everything. That verse I was saying yesterday, that Yumam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashyati Tasyaham Na Pranashyami Sachame Na Pranashyati. That one who sees me, Krishna says, everywhere and in everything, and everything in me, I am never lost to him, he is never lost to me. So we are reading about Krishna, so we can enjoy hearing about Krishna. How wonderful is Krishna? Hare Krishna. Is there any question? There may not be many questions. Krishna's pastimes, that I heard this. Prabhupada said, Krishna book, you read Krishna literature, and you just enjoy. Not so many questions. Enjoy. If you ask, how can Krishna do this? How can Krishna do that? There's no such question. Whatever he likes, he's doing. That's it. How can Krishna swallow the fire? Why not? He's Krishna. Even there may be so many questions. See, when the Kaliya serpent came in the Yamuna Lake, Kaliyahad, and all the boys fell down dead. How can they fall down dead? If they're eternal associates of Krishna, how can they die? And there are so many questions. Means it's all going on by the Leela Shakti. For the pastimes of Krishna, they may appear to be like ordinary human beings in some ways. That's only for enriching the pastimes of Krishna.
My question is not connected with Krishna Leela, but with Radha and Krishna. Dira Prashanta told me that he heard that actually on altar, Radha Krishna deities, they're not. They're actually Lakshmi Narayan.
No. They are Radha Krishna, but we worship in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. They are Lakshmi Narayan because Lakshmi Narayan are within, you can say, Radha Krishna. They are Radha and Krishna, but we have to worship in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan worship. Because Radha Krishna worship means, just like I was describing Vamsidas Babaji, how he worshipped his deities. There was no particular time for doing anything. There was no standard offering. Whenever he liked, he just offered something to them. It means completely spontaneous. But we're not on that platform. And actually you see even Radha Krishna pastimes, they have the regularity also. In the morning, they have the eightfold daily pastimes. So in the morning, Krishna's, he does this at this time and this at that time. And so you have to serve the duties in such a way. So we worship in a mood of awe and reverence in our present stage. Prabhupada, sometimes you see, one time Pujari told me in London that the old temple in Berry Place is a very small temple room, not even much, maybe twice the length of this room, and then we had sometimes 80 devotees living in the temple. And the deity room was very small, so you could almost, just from behind the rope, you could almost reach to Krishna. There was hardly any space to offer the fan. You had to offer like this. Very crowded up. So one time Prabhupada came in, just the midday arti had been there, and the plate for offering was, they used to keep the plate, the bowl, and now prasad, on until after the arti. So Prabhupada walked in, only the pujari was there. He said, give me that sweet. So he took it right there and there. So if you do that, or I do that, that is an offense. But if Prabhupada does, you see, he said he's stealing from Krishna. He's doing like that. So Prabhupada can do like that. If we do, it's an offense. Prabhupada is Krishna's close friend. Intimate friend.